Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Jackie Cation here. You're listening to The Dork Forest. You know the websites, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com, if you like a determiner. JackieCation.com has everything. Both of my podcasts, all of the stand-up stuff, the new album, links to YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all the things. But so, I think, does dorkforest.com, where you can look at old videos of different shows. Anyway, if you want to support the show, tell people about the show, review it on iTunes, thumbs it up on Pandora or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, I appreciate that. You can donate. You can donate monthly. PayPal lets you do that. You can also do my Venmo if you like. It's at Jackie Cation. Absolutely everywhere. And my email address is jackie@jackiecation.com, and that's what the PayPal is. The PayPal link is on jackiecation.com and dorkforest.com. And go to any of them. Thanks for listening. There's merch. There's stand-up. There's tour guide. You know, you can find out where I'm touring. This is getting long, so let's get into the show. Hi, Jackie Cation. I'm in my garage. I turned the camera around. Now we're looking out a bookshelf. Very exciting. Welcome to the program, Rangers of the Dork Forest. Today, I'm with Taylor McCluskey.
Hey.
Hello, Taylor McCluskey.
How's it going, guys?
It's good. It's outstanding. I'm happy to have you on the show.
Thanks for having
to
me.
To talk about something that I've always enjoyed, which is a video game. And in many cases, a first-person shooter.
Yes.
So let's first of all, tell people where they can find you on the interwebs with your socials and stuff.
Oh, yes. Right now I'm hanging out a lot on TikTok. So it's Taylor McCluskey TikTok.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I be.
And McCluskey, right? It'll be in the notes. Just
yeah,
so everybody
yeah,
should.
That's it.
Okay. And is that Twitter and Instagram too, or...
Yeah, there's Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, but what I'll do is I'll send you a link tree and it'll have all the good stuff in there. So it's just one
Sweet.
Place. Yes.
There you go. All right. Well, let's talk about it. The oldest one first, I think. GoldenEye.
Ooh. Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo.
Yes.
The first real first-person shooter.
Yes.
Like it finally got it. It finally sort of got the perspective right, right?
And very realistic for the time too. Like the way that yeah. it was functioning, and also you could play with your friends. Like, you know, I think four person, you can play against four people at once, which was really
okay.
great. So we used to have parties at our house. Buddies would come over, and that was kind of the really exciting part. We get so mad at each other for if we got shot or lost or whatever.
Because, okay, so now here's the thing. I've literally only played GoldenEye probably twice.
Yeah.
And so you're on, are you on like a PS2? What are you on?
Right now, I'm on
GoldenEye.
Oh, sorry, GoldenEye. I'm on a Super Nintendo at the time.
It was a Super Nintendo?
Yeah, I remember I used to go and right in the top portion of the Super Nintendo.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And it was a four person. So was it kind of open world where you played as a team or did you play against each other?
We could play against each other in various worlds. So, you know, you basically redo certain missions as, you know, you're playing as four into one. So
are you James Bond?
From what I recall, you can be James Bond and then you can be like an assortment of other characters within the game.
Okay. So James Bond's team.
The team and the baddies.
Right. Did you ever play that game that was, it was an Army of One and it was a first person shooter game and it was a recruiting technique? It was a couple of years ago it came out and I think they got rid of it because it was so incredibly just in poor taste. Because whoever
taste.
You played,
yeah.
you were an American soldier and the other guys were terrorists.
Yeah.
But if you were playing with other people, they were the soldier and you were the terrorist.
Whoa.
So it was over the internet and it was a massive multiplayer, but it was politically, I think, so accurate. Because aren't we all the good guys?
And so
isn't everybody else the bad guy?
So that's what we're told. Yeah, it's
in our heads.
In
yeah.
our heads, right? Growing up with these video games. No, you know, for me, I love the compete. You know, and I
sure.
look at it from that perspective. Like these are characters. It's kind of a storyline, very similar
what
to
was the story
in this game you're talking about.
Yeah, in GoldenEye.
Oh, in GoldenEye.
Any-
well, the storyline essentially would be like, how can we recreate the film So it becomes interactive. Oh. For
that's awesome.
Yeah. So like, you know, they made the movie GoldenEye and then they made the video game, which I thought was so great because I love the film. I thought Pierce Brosnan was a great Bond. And
right.
It was, you know, I've been huge like since Sean Connery. Like I've seen all the films. Roger Moore was amazing too. And
right.
And even to present day, you know, Daniel Craig, phenomenal. Last film I thought was great. It's unfortunate that he died. So I'm excited to see what comes next. I think they're going to do like a younger Bond.
Hi. Spoiler alert. I have not seen the latest James Bond movie.
I was about to bite my tongue. James Bond dies.
Daniel Craig did not die.
To my
knowledge. But and at the time of this recording, Daniel Craig, the actor, still alive, ladies and gentlemen.
He's alive and well and looking for more roles to do.
But they did a thing where they killed James Bond at the end of the last James Bond.
He took it for country. He saved the day. It was the most heroic death in a film I've seen in a long time. So I was happy about it.
The thing about James Bond is it's okay, in my opinion. Spoiler alerts with James Bond and Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Movies like these, even if it's a bit of a twist, it's not that big of a twist.
Yeah.
So in GoldenEye, they're wandering around. I forget the plot of GoldenEye. I mean, it's always, who was the bad guy?
Oh, it was a guy, it's been such a long time, but it was a guy that had his old, I think it was 006 or something like that in the film. Remember that? They were going into, in some Russian base in the top of the mountains. And then he betrayed James and then he became a baddie. He was trying to tell James to cross over and join him. And that's where the feud started. And so it was for world domination, of course. And so James had to go out there and fight the good fight for land and country and Britain and all that stuff.
Oh, right. Okay. So in 1986, James Bond and Alec Trevelyan.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds Armenian. Infiltrate a Soviet chemical weapons facility in fictional Arkansas. And Trevelyan is seemingly caught and killed, but he escapes. Anyway, 9 years later, Bond attempts. Anyway, so they.
Yeah.
Xenia Onatopp.
She was hot. She was very pretty.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she's very pretty. Nice. But like such like a baddie. Like she was an amazing bad girl. From her like a female strong perspective of a character, she was the top. I thought she was great.
All right. Did she was she fighty or was she
fighty? She had very strong legs. I'll just leave it there.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, no spoiler there.
Very strong quads.
So what you're doing is you're sort of going through Eastern Europe. In the video game GoldenEye.
Yeah, you're almost going through, almost scene by scene. Like you're able to play James's part through the whole entire picture, which is great. Through the film to the game, which I really like that because I like being able to watch a movie and then go to a console and turn it on and play it. To have some sort of, like when I was a kid, I love that because my mind creatively loved video games so much and how they, you know, how movies and video games and or TV or whatever, how they came together they weave together very nicely, you know?
And they did the storyline sort of animatron, like the animated like story intros to each sort of level.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how they did it from the perspective of making the James Bond video game, but I do know like nowadays, like they will hire like actors to go on and they'll go into a special room and they'll put all these special dots on it and they'll actually have a script and they'll do the full video game live. And then the video game developers like Ubisoft or whatever will take that and start to apply the all the graphics and everything to make it as realistic as possible. So even like today's world,
I would say that the writing is better too. Right. Because GoldenEye at least had a movie to come from.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like Final Fantasy where you're like, what is happening? Why is this? Is there a way to skip?
I know. B or something. It's like, I guess it's B. You can like skip over and move on because you want the action. You want to keep moving. And that's what I love with games like this is that like it's, you keep going, you know, even with like Ghost Recon to present day Ghost Recon is like the way the shooter moves is very realistic to how dev group moves or, you know, Green Berets move or, you know, SAS operators move. And then the attention to detail from, we'll say Ghost Recon now, and then we'll go to GoldenEye. Wow, what a difference in time and development through video games and technology has it to hear. And then if you even get into Oculus and play games.
Oh, are you doing it all on VR?
I've tried it on VR, not those games specifically because they're not on Oculus, but I've tried a sniper game on Oculus.
Right.
And you're in a canoe. And so you're canoeing. And so you feel the canoe. You hear the water. You hear the movements are very realistic. To me, when I first did it, I felt very kind of seasick or like motion sickness at first.
Right.
That was difficult to overcome because you take it off. You're like, I'm gonna vomit. Like I don't feel
right.
too well.
I'm gonna lie down for a second.
Exactly.
There was an upright sniper game that was, and I might have been just called sniper. Can't remember. But I would get this vertigo. I would get this sort of weird. They didn't have it exactly right.
Yeah.
As to the perspective and the point of view kind of thing, and so it was a little maddening. You'd have to sort your eyes would have to sort of make a course correct so that you could play the game. And then when you'd get off the game, there was this dizziness that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
So I imagine that's why they haven't been doing them as much on the 3D thing yet, or the VR.
I mean, I think some kids are push themselves to like, okay. And they get there and they finally get comfortable with it. I guess repetition. You start to kind of like get acclimated.
But initially, you're like 14, 16 hours.
Exactly. I like having the controller and playing and be like, all right, normal. But
what are you playing Ghost Recon on? What's your?
I have an Xbox One and it works great for it. And I have a very nice curved 75-inch TV, which I'm speaking on now. And I have surround sound in the downstairs here. There's speakers around, so. When the kids are sleeping or something, I could put my headphones on and juice it up and get really involved into the game. And it's nice when you're in Montreal, it's bloody cold outside and video games in the winter, I hoard them and I bring them in and I have all the subscriptions and I just try them all. And then playing live with people all over the world. That's really fun too.
Are you on Discord and doing?
I'm on Discord for other Steam, things, but I'm basically just on Xbox Live. And I play on there.
Oh, and just doing it through Xbox Live.
Yeah.
I have only played currently about a year ago in the summer in the depths of lockdown. I was in a contest where all my job was to riff and be funny while I ate it. And people had to come and save me. And it was Apex Legends.
Oh, wow.
And I played Apex Legends for about 2 weeks intensely so that I could suck real bad next to people that were really good at it.
Yeah.
So
there's some incredible players out there. I mean, these guys play all the time.
But the ones that you like are kind of like, besides Contra and Zelda, or GoldenEye and Zelda, really, because Contra's another military first-person shooter, right?
Yeah, always was. I love anything first-person military. Anything that can get me closer to, playing dev group SEAL Team 6 kind of guys. I have a huge respect for the men and women out there in services that do the job, the real job.
Were you in the service?
Well, I tested for the Marines before I went down to LA and they wanted me for intelligence. And my dad was in the Navy. My grandfather was in the Navy. And I was at kind of this turning point where I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And then, I've always loved acting and music and everything and got an agent and all this stuff. And when the military called me to say, like, you ready to go to basic training, I told them I just booked. I just got a bunch of callbacks for this talent competition, Universal City.
Yeah.
And I'm going to move in LA. And they're like, go do that. And if it doesn't work out, come back to us. And I was like, okay. So I was honest with the guy and he was like, no worries. Go. I was like, I want to be in movies. And he's like, go do that.
Be in movies.
And go make movies about us, basically. He said that. So I've written a bunch of scripts about, dev group and everything and SAS. And so.
Right. So you've read so you've just dipped yourself because they're cool.
Well,
Are you kidding me? They're super cool.
They're
like the Navy SEAL guys and the Marine Corps dudes.
They're real superheroes to me. Like those are real superheroes. The men and women of who go out there and do and the police and, everybody that's in that service.
Young cousin wanted to be in the Marines from when he was like 10 or 11 years old.
Yeah.
And he wanted to be one of those recon Marines, right?
Yeah.
Which are the guys that get dropped in front of like behind the lines.
Yeah.
And they speak Arabic. I mean, this at the time it was very much Iraq. He's The guy's only like 28 years old now, and he was in the Marines for like 6 or 7 years, but he went and he joined the Marines and he went to basic and he gets out of basic. And I was like, did you make it into the language school? And he said, you know, the public school system in Mississippi has not done me any favors.
No.
I'm going to be driving a truck. And he goes, it's a cool truck.
Yeah.
But it is not a recon Marine truck.
Yeah.
And so, but it's, yeah. I mean, the thing is you could, that's the cool thing about video games is that you could fall in love with a certain job or a certain task and then get to sort of recreate it, relive it. What Contra looks like it was just a side scroller, right?
Oh yeah. It was like, what was that code? Up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, select, start. I think
yeah.
was like the main code that we used to get a bunch of all the things. But ultimately, I mean, that was kind of what, so that was just regular Nintendo.
Yeah.
And I think that was the first Nintendo, right? So there was up, down, left, right, and then select, start, A, B. Those are the only buttons you had on the controller.
And right. I don't think there were trigger buttons yet, right?
No, I think B was jump and A was shoot or something like that. But it wasn't as complex as it is now. Like you can duck, you can roll, you can throw dirt on yourself now and kind of blend into the environment. Like it's unbelievable. You have an assortment of every single flashbangs to grenades to like taking the suppressor off, to putting the suppressor back on, using it's pretty amazing. Drones, like, I don't know, night vision, thermal. Like, you're like,
are
what
you
the hell?
Are you so when you go through Ghost? So what is this Ghost Recon?
Ghost
are
Recon,
you
yeah.
a Recon Marine?
Oh, you're
what's,
essentially.
What's the conceit?
Well,
what's the story?
So like this, essentially, this island gets taken over by a very well-financed kind of not cartel, but military that was built using very, very intelligent AI technologies and weaponry and drones and etc. Like they wanted to take over the world. And so we were kind of going in there. We were the essentially SEALs and Green Berets and Marines were being sent over there to get the island back. And then all of a sudden these crazy drones come out and take out all the men and a couple of characters survive and they had to make their way through. But on the island, there are these islanders that were there as scientists and medics and they built these machines. So then the main guy and his team are supposed to go and work with him and try to beat out the baddies. And then the Russians come and then they, in the second story, the Russians come in and they start to take over things as well. And their technology is way advanced, more advanced. And so the team gets stronger by the missions you complete and the weapons get more intense
Wait, in Ghost Recon, how many Ghost Recons are there?
I believe there is one, but they've added an assortment of different sub stories within the game.
Oh,
which I thought
like there's
was
expansion
really,
sets.
Exactly, which I thought was very cool for the developers to do that. So you can still build on top of what you've already worked so hard for because you put in 300 hours into this thing or more.
Right, right. And so you have your character. You built it from the very beginning where you landed with the team and then everybody's destroyed essentially except for a handful of people. And then you have to work your way through to get to the civilian scientists. Is that what you're doing?
And also they put Terminators in there.
Oh my God.
So Skynet weaved in and they had another game that was more cartel based, the one prior to that. And that game had Predator in it and you had to fight Predator. So I love how the developers are adding all these really.
Oh, are they just pulling Predator and Skynet and
Skynet,
they're like whatever?
They were like whatever because they want people to stay in the game and then you can also play it live too, which is cool. Like Call of Duty, you can also do similar things with that with your characters to other players around the world.
So you built your character. Let's stick with Ghost Recon for a second, just because I'm curious. So you built your character. You obviously you're finding equipment or you're buying equipment?
If you don't have any money, you can still like, you have to complete missions. So every time you complete missions, like it's so realistic to the point, like if you get shot or shot multiple times, you'll start to see the wounds on your body. And so you have you have to put a med kit on and then you also have adrenaline shots that you can, I think, put in your chest or your leg to, if your health is going down, to boost your health back up. Plus you can go save a buddy, which I love.
Okay.
So if a buddy,
if you save a buddy, you get you get a boost?
You don't get a boost. You save their lives so they can work with you on fighting the bad guys too. Plus you can call them.
Okay.
You'd be like, go over there and watch that part, or go attack everybody, or hold, or come to my position. Like, you have all these different settings in the controller to where you can direct them where to go. And plus you can pick up like berries and fern, like all this stuff around the actual island you can survive off of. So you can shoot boars and take the meat and get protein and get more power. And
okay,
it's really cool. And then you can make your own concoctions for your it's so okay. In depth. It's so in depth. Yeah.
Okay, so there's chemistry too. So you're like, you're making things in addition to finding weapons and buying weapons.
Exactly.
And then what is it? Did you ever play Prince of Persia?
Yes, I did. That was a really fun game too.
It's super fun, but it was more acrobatics, right? It was more of a puzzle game, kind of like Portal.
Yeah.
And but these things, how's the movement? Right?
Movement's
is
fairly
it acrobatic
realistic.
Or is it
you can tumble
stealthy.
And you can roll, but if you jump off a building too high up, you'll die.
Okay.
Or if you're like, it's a medium fall, you'll be damaged pretty intensely. Like you'll be hurting a lot. And then you have to either wrap yourself or you have to jab yourself. The cool thing is, like, throughout the whole island, there's these little camps that you can set to. And so you can almost hyper jump from one camp to the next. So you're not walking or driving, because sometimes you'll get a helicopter and you're like, I got to go 14 kilometers this way. And you're just like for like 20 minutes or 20 minutes. Or you're like, all right, well, I want to get there one day, you know? And so you can hyper jump to places, which I thought was cool. Plus when you're at camp, you can fix yourself up. You can drink water, you hydrate, you can eat, you can load more weapons on your crew. There's all kinds of cool stuff you can do.
Okay, so it's like base. It's like they're tiny bases that where you can recover all. Can you get back to full health if you make it to a base?
And you can get your ammo fully lifted, like all your ammo back.
Nice.
Plus you can assault. You can find out what time you want to assault a base. So let's say if like you're at a camp and there's a base down there, you can wait to attack at night because night's the best time to attack, because you put your night vision on and you can go up. And the cool thing is you can go behind guys and like slit their throats. You can jab them with a knife.
Right, right.
You can do all these silence things. I mean, it's so cool.
Right, right. Now, does it feel kind of like Vice City, where you wonder about the ethics of it at all, or no?
Exactly.
Or is it just...
Like, it has that vibe too. Remember, so Vice City was another great game. I love playing. But you kind of have that thing. You can go, you see a bad guy in the car, you can take him out through the window. You can take his truck and go. Or you can, start hunting people down. The craziest thing is that you can send a drone up and you can, get yourself covered up, because there's drones flying over you all the time. So if they spot you, you have a sensor on your screen. So they have all these various radars and stuff, and they spot you. They'll drop a flare down and then call backup to come and get you.
Oh, wow.
So you have to be aware of that. So you can basically get on the ground, throw mud on yourself and kind of blend in and snipe, or you can get on a drone, or you can just fire from your primary or secondary weapon.
Right. It's, I didn't play it very long, but it was Fallout. Fallout?
Yeah.
And that was one where if you made certain decisions in the game would change.
Yeah.
Does it have that kind of vibe to it at all, Ghost Recon or Call of Duty or any of that?
It does. I mean, like, if you fail a mission, it'll say that you failed a mission. You have to restart the mission right away. Like, let's say if the primary target gets compromised, like, it will say you failed the mission. And then you have to go back in and restart the mission to complete it. Plus, you can make it, obviously, you can do, like, easy, medium, extremely hard, or veteran. So you can juice it up. So, like, you get shot twice, you're gone.
Yeah.
So you're not running around like, you get shot like 800 times. Like, if you get shot in the neck, you're gone. And hopefully a guy will come and pick you up, you know?
Right. Right. And do you play with a standard group online? Are you part of like a guild or anything?
No. I play with my son, we'll take turns. Okay. Like, I die, he die, we switch off. And then, and sometimes I'll play, but what I do love, like, I think for a lot of creative people, we love the story of like, okay, we're here. We have to track where to go next. So we have some information right here. We have to figure out where all that stuff is and figure out where it is on the map. And then how are we going to get there? So there's a lot of planning that goes on. And then you see the base. So you send up the drone. You take a look at the base. You throw out some kind of sensors that will light up all the heat signatures of all the bad guys. And then you have different levels of bad guys. You have juggernauts that you have to hit them with the sniper round twice because they have a helmet. But
right.
If not, you're going to be like trying to pick them off. And they have Gatling guns.
Okay.
And so there's...
Wait, so are the bases defended by bad guys?
Exactly. All the bases are defended by bad guys. Plus they have these okay. huge machines that are like, kind of reminds me of Skynet, those big tractor kind of tanks that they have.
Yeah, the hovery kind of tractory things. Yeah.
They have those similar into this game. So you have to hit them with a lot of like, you know, rocket launchers and all kinds of things. So it's, and they shoot up missiles that are heat seek. They basically seize you. He'll know where mm-hmm. you are and they'll start driving some missiles towards you. So you got to move around a lot and it gets very like stressful.
Okay. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember playing Apex Legend, which is pretty much the first person shooter I played in a decade or whatever. But, that it was like, I was sweating.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was twitchy and I was just like, don't get over. And, you know, and it's trying to get your hands to do, to work the, have you ever, you know, some people insist that the best way to play is on a laptop, right?
Yeah.
Is to play with the key commands and stuff like that.
Yeah, with the mouse.
That there's better new mouse. Yeah. That there's better nuance to it.
Yeah.
Do you use the keyboard and mouse or do you use a controller?
I used to back in the day, but I just love what Microsoft is doing with Xbox and just how, you know, I enjoy playing. I like to sit on the couch, have a controller.
Are you using the mouse keyboard or are you using the controller?
Just a controller.
Okay.
I use just a controller because I like my hands moving very quickly and it works pretty well for me. But I've seen some guys with the mouse and the keyboard and they're extremely fast. You know, so
right,
I can
they're
see
super fast.
There's an advantage. Yeah.
And I don't, I mean, whatever, but I think in both cases that if you can get the tactile down,
yeah,
that you can be super subtle and that you can play that with a lot of nuance that, doesn't matter which one you pick to some extent.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just the talent of the player. There's a lot of great players out there and people that really, that they do it for a living, you know, and so I've seen them on the board at, you know, various like live, like Call of Duty, playing that live with a lot of different players out there. And these guys are just boom, boom, boom. Like they move so fast. Their shots are very, very targeted and they know what they're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
This actually, the last first person shooter I played was skin different. It was it's a dodgeball game.
Oh, cool.
That I played on Steam and it was, Knockdown City, I think it was called.
Right
Knockout
on.
City.
Yeah.
And it was, you would pick up balls and throw them at other people. And it was just team dodgeball. You would get your team kind of like an Apex Legend kind of thing where you would have you could either do a buddy system, two or three, you could do two people or three people on your team. And then you would play against other teams and they would either assign you a team or you could go in with friends. Right. And, but the weird thing about Knockdown City was that you could turn yourself into a ball.
Whoa.
And roll over to your buddy, and then your buddy could pick you up.
And throw you?
Throw you at the bad guys.
Do you have any control when he's throwing you? Are you able to like...
Yeah. So you can you can blow up.
Okay, so as soon as you get close, you can press like whatever,
blow
the thing up? Yeah, you can
press up. To my knowledge, if I remember correctly, you also, if you do it right, it's sort of a super ball, right?
That's awesome.
And it'll be like a nuke. And it'll so like it'll
you take out the whole line. You take out the whole line of people. Oh,
yeah.
That's sick.
If they're together, if they're grouped together, you can take them all out.
That's badass. So what? How many points do you get per person you blow up?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember.
I want to play that.
I've only played it and so poorly that essentially Ron Funches and Carmen Morales were like, just be a ball. Just be a ball, Jackie. We'll throw you. And so I remembered how to how to turn myself into a ball, but that was about it.
That's awesome. So, well, you know, taking one for the team, you're getting yourself out there as an object of destruction.
Yeah. What are your favorite... like your favorite scenarios in the games? Is it doing the recon and then figuring out where everybody is and then making the plan?
I like working as a sniper, kind of sniper team. And so getting up in the hills, getting some advantage, and then, you know, poking my scope out there with the silencer and start to plan, like, hitting the other snipers first, because these baddies have snipers. So you want to take them out first, because if they get a read on you, one shot from them, you're out. So I'll start working the top, and then I'll start going after the juggernauts, and then I'll start, you know, tactically going over their drones too, like trying to get those. Because if the drones
the
drones will fly to you very quickly, and then they will shoot you. They have guns on them, so they'll shoot you too. Plus, there's radio operators, and you'll start to see, almost looks like your cell phone, like, signal. So you're like, okay, those guys are radio guys. And if you don't get them relatively soon, they'll call in for backup, which means helicopters.
It sounds like you have to get everybody immediately. I have to quickly get the snipers, the juggernauts, the drones, and the radio guy.
Quickly, just, and it, like, just very secretly, like, you just want to, like, get into the mind of, like, what would a dev group guy do in this situation? Like, I like to start to think, like, what would a guy in that, and that's what I love creatively about these games, is, like, if you start to put yourself into the character for real, then it becomes way more enjoyable, because you start to think and move like how that would be. You almost want to be in their skin operating in that manner, which
I think, a little avatar moment. Yeah.
I think that's why VR is when it gets to a certain place where they can get rid of that vertigo dizziness thing, I'll be way more into that. But, you know,
and they probably have. I did a Dork Forest with a guy named Mike Drucker, who's look that up, Rangers, if you want more video game talk.
Love that.
But he's done two. He's done one VR because he owns all of the different systems.
Very
cool.
Because
he's a VR dork and nerd and wants in on it, whatever's happening. And then his new obsession is horror video games.
Those are so cool. Those are so cool and so wicked.
With the VR.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only one that I remember, because it sounded terrifying, Taylor, is that you would put this thing on and all of a sudden you were in the game and you were a child. You were essentially a child or a person watching television, and you could hear behind you like your mom in the kitchen making dinner. And then all of a sudden there's silence.
Yeah.
And then there's this long, long pause, and you know someone is behind you.
Oh, God.
And you have to turn around.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But you're like, And I'm like, I'm not playing that game. That game is not happening. That sounds terrifying.
That is very scary. Yeah. I demoed one of those things because they had a U2 experience, which was phenomenal. So you're in the stadium with U2 and Bono singing to you, and you turn around like this, and you can see all the bandmates there. And then I was like, all right, this is great. I'm going to try the horror one. And it was some crazy horror one. We're in this like decrepit home, and I'm sitting at a table like this, and I'm just looking, and then the door starts to shake. I'm like, what the hell? And the hairs in the back of my neck start going just from the door, just trembling like this. And then it opens out and all these zombies start attacking me, and they're biting my arm off and like everything. I was like freaked out. I threw the thing off my face.
Oh my God.
And I was like, this is amazing. You know?
It's, you know, I mean, that is one of my problems with sort of the never-ending side scrollers is the never-ending part. And that is like, there was a zombie game that you played where you literally you fought them as long as you could last.
Yeah.
And then they overcame you. And then it would be, you either got enough points to go on to the next level or that level would restart. And it was beautifully I think it was a PS3 game, and it was a beautiful game.
Yeah.
It was,
It was
very well drawn. And by the time, you know, like not, you know, 3 hours, I wouldn't say nine. I don't know how long I played it, but I was so irritated with like my hands cramping up, and I'm just like, I'm never going to beat every level. And, how hard is it to get? So, if you go through, like if it takes you 22 hours to finish Ghost Recon, right?
Oh, yeah, longer. I haven't finished it. I've been playing for 336 hours in the game.
And have you gotten to the expansions though, right?
Yeah, I've beaten all the expansions, but there's all these other sub-levels that are on the side of the portfolio. So there's like chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. But in turn, there's all these sub-levels where you work with the locals, and then they have a whole place that you need to go and get, and then you can go out and get all the crates with all the specialized weaponry, and that turns into something. So it just becomes, and sometimes these missions, if you're working on like the hardest level that they have, like you have to move very slow. You can't move like jump in like Rambo, be like, yeah, right. You know, you can't do that because you're going to be dead like very quickly and you're going to throw the controller at the TV because you're going to just be like, what the hell, you know? But so you kind of have to plan. You have to plan your entry. And even though like you start to see the same type of avatars throughout the game and various, as you progress through it, the avatars are wolves. And now the wolves have more armor on them and they are great shooters and they're faster and they can attack you quicker. And then you go into another, I think they're called Sentinels or something. You go into this other island and then it just gets more treacherous because there's lava around you now and you have to be careful of that and all these other
things. Oh my God.
I just wish they would have put great white sharks in the ocean. Like I'm always like throwing myself in the ocean and like,
yep,
I want a shark to bite me. You know, I want a giant shark to eat.
From your ears, I'm sure that they're like, oh yeah. Especially if you're changing islands. If you're changing, and are you swimming from one island to the next?
Oh my God, there's so much water around you. Like there's an island and then there's like, I don't know, like in the game, 10 kilometers, 16 kilometers of space to the next island. So you need a helicopter or you're in a boat like this for like 20 minutes. Like,
right. You need either a faster way to get there or it is very, very slow. Yeah. And can't like in Animal Crossing, you can't swim any further than like the end of the horizon. Sort of like
it's
free guy.
Cuts you off.
I don't know if you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it like that with Call of Duty too? They're like, no, you need a vehicle.
Well, with, Call of Duty, you don't mess around too much in the water. Like they have you.
Oh, that's right. Ghost Recon.
But Ghost Recon, like they will give you the space to go to the island. I haven't gone further than the island, like the farthest island to the top right corner. I haven't gone after that. Like I haven't taken a helicopter. But usually what happens is you'll get to a certain point and they'll cut you off. Like the game will say like in about 10 seconds, you're going to blow up. So it forces you to come back around.
Right. Turn around. Exactly. Yeah. That makes, did you end up seeing Free Guy, by the way?
Ryan Reynolds? Ryan Reynolds is a man. I love watching that guy. And
it's sort of like a cool kid game. Version of Deadpool.
Deadpool's also awesome too.
Yeah. Right. But it's so like, good. It's like Free Guy's a game you could watch with your kids.
Yeah. I watched with my son. He's 8, and we watched it together.
And
we're laughing, but he loves video games. I'm like, if my dad showed me this film when I was a kid, I'd be like, all right, you know what I mean? But
yeah, right. But he's 8, and I wouldn't necessarily show an 8-year-old Deadpool.
No, you know? Has he seen it? I think he's seen it.
The thing is with all rated R movies, you should see them over at your friends who I don't like.
Yeah, but my son knows I'm good. I'm in the movie business. So he's like, Dad, like, this is fake, right? I'm like, yeah.
Of course.
Somebody wrote this. Yeah. This is all like.
You're not really going to be snipering people. And we really don't want you to blow people up.
Exactly.
In an ideal world.
Well, you got to be careful too. Like, you know, they get so obsessed. Like, I have him on Roblox now. He loves Roblox.
What is that?
Roblox is on, you play it on your iPad and I think you can play it on Xbox too, but it's, as people that build video games, you incorporate these very minimalistic characters, but you can build your house, you can have your car. So you can actively get in there and start building this world and you can design your own world and add your friends to it. But it's like, it's not as insane graphic wise than like, you know, Call of Duty or that, right? It's very basic, but kids love it because it's not very violent, but you can still shoot people, but it's not like blood and all that stuff.
Oh, right.
So it's cool. But we had him playing Fortnite for a while and that was a little intense for him. But, you know,
quarantine. What about Minecraft? Has he ever tried Minecraft?
Yeah, he likes Minecraft a lot. That's a really cool game. He likes Minecraft.
And that is just an engineering game, right? Yeah. And then you wander around. So
it's a cool game
for everybody. Sort of, you know, kind of, you know, my husband makes video games for me.
Oh, cool.
And yeah.
Tell him
and,
thank you. thank you.
Oh, sure.
Thank
he
you.
Worked on, he's the coolest game he ever worked on was, or the most popular game. I wanted it. There was a game that he was working on. There were so many games he was working on that did not get made. They're just like movies.
They're just like
they go into, they go into production and then the money falls out or the team changes or the head of the thing changes. But he worked on God of War 2 and 3.
That's so cool. Very cool.
Yeah, but right now he has a video game podcast with an ethics professor that he works with, and it's called Ethics and Video Games. Nice. And it is a fascinating, like, it's just an hour discussion of like what you should let your kids do and what you and what about the monetizing and you know, because a lot of the cell phone games, they're almost entirely about in-game purchasing, right?
Oh my god, so, we've spent so much money, just especially in COVID, there's been a lot of purchases with Roblox and all these things. And so luckily we have it to where, you know, my son and my daughter are very cool, and they basically like, hey, I would like to do a chore to get some Roblox or something. I'm like, that's fine with me. Let's do some work around the house or do something outside or help grandma and grandpa or whatever. And then we can buy you some Roblox because they enjoy that. And they want it for Christmas. They want it for the birthdays. So
sure.
But I'm just, I looked at the last year's kind of tally of what went into Xbox, Roblox, and V-Bucks, whatever. Fortnite, and you're just looking at all the charges, like Apple, Microsoft. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go buy some Apple Microsoft shares right now because
But it also, like, there's also, because of the lockdown, there's no gas being spent, there's less dinners, there's less travel costs. Yeah. So you end up spending your money on the thing that can make this more bearable, right?
Yeah.
So And I think, you know, there's so many kids who want to make video games, and there's so many kids who want to go into programming because of video games, and then find out that they don't want to program video games. They want to program maps, or they want to program, you know, other apps, and they want to figure out how people, you know, health apps or anything like that.
Even into the armed forces too. I mean, the military, the technology they have nowadays, like imagine having a mask on and you're a soldier and you can start to get thermal readings, you get distance, you start to know where your people are. Communications, very easy to do. It's in your scope. It's almost like what the Apache helicopter pilots would have in their facial mask.
Right. They're more like tactical masks that are also hopefully protecting you from getting COVID or a cold.
Well, yeah, but they're also seeing like, is that a woman or a child, or is that a bad guy? Or is that, you know, they're able to see in high resolution so they don't make mistakes. You know what I mean?
Oh, in the video games or in real life?
Like the whole, what's happening from, I mean, even like you got drone pilots that are going off a video game screen and they're controllers and they're flying in drones into battle, which is like saving many people's lives from the standpoint of the military. But, you know, it's also like controlling the chaos too, to a certain degree. So technology across the board is pretty amazing.
I met some guy when I was in Vegas. He is an Air Force guy and he works drones.
Yeah.
And, you know, all day long, he's like, during the day, I murder people for my government.
It's pretty wild.
And it is sad and sometimes good and sometimes bad, and I've made mistakes, and then I gotta go home.
Yeah, it's to turn it off.
Because my wife and my kids are right there. It's not like I'm in Afghanistan where I can then hang out with my buddies afterwards and decompress. I have to become an entirely different person.
Yeah.
Like the drone soldiers are such a different breed, right? I mean, you have to, the psychology of trying to figure out who can do that, who can compartmentalize. And because one of the great things about being in, because I too am fascinated by the armed forces and that sort of the camaraderie and the building. I just watched some documentary on, and it was a 3-hour documentary on PBS hosted, narrated by Drew Carey.
He
was in the Marines.
Yeah.
And, I wish it had been done by Ken Burns, because then it wouldn't have been 3 hours. It would have been 30 hours. But it was 3 hours. And the first hour was why people join and boot camp. The second one is the mission and the second hour. And the third hour was sort of the PTSD and being getting out of the service.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating that, you know, it's that team building thing that when you're on any team. Right. Whether it's basketball or if you're in the armed forces, like the boot camp is an accelerated or an elevated team building exercise. Right. Because you're all one, you all point the guns in the same direction kind of thing. Right. And so it was kind of fascinating. So the drone, the fact that the drones are in these games and you're running drones and they're running drones,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, you're learning how to fight them and yeah. you're learning how to use them.
Yeah. And some of these drones are just AI. And I think that's the future that we're going to see, is that a lot of these drone pilots, the human drone pilots, are going to find something else to do. And it's just going to be strictly just AI. That's going to deal with it. It's going to be programmed to go here and handle these situations. So that's kind of, I think that's the future. Robots are basically going to do a lot of things that we used to do, you know, from that standpoint.
And if they're recon drones, I mean, that makes some sense, right? Or mm-hmm. if you're just like, go get this data. You know, find out what the terrain is, find out what the population is,
yeah.
take video of what's happening in this area,
yeah.
bring it back home. But if they're programmed to go find, you know, Elvis Presley and shoot him,
mm-hmm.
That I think needs some human oversight.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always be a human oversight to it, but on boots on the ground, I think it's just going to be a hybrid of both. To be like,
oh, for sure.
You'll have a hybrid of dev group guys or Green Beret guys or, you know, Marines or whatever. But they're going to have robotic dogs. They're going to have all different types of drones to use for IEDs, which they do now.
Taylor,
they have that now.
Have you seen Axel?
Axel Rose?
AXL. It is an acronym. You and your children might enjoy this movie a great deal. It is dumb.
It's dumb.
It's not good. And it is awesome. It is cool. Axel, AXL. Mm-hmm. I forget what it stands for. Artificial something. He is a robot murder dog that the army has created.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to be a robot murder dog,
not.
Taylor.
Of course, he wants to be He wants to be a lap dog.
He runs away from the army and he finds a friend who has a motorbike and they run and they play and they jump. And I could have written this movie when I was 9.
Yes.
Because it's outstanding.
Okay.
And they play and they jump. And then the army would like their robot murder dog back, Taylor. and that is the movie. And
I will watch that. I will pay $24
awesome
for that.
Movie.
Just
it's
to rent
it.
It's on
my phone. It's
on your phone.
Yeah, I've downloaded it. I've seen it at least 6 times.
I will definitely pay $24 to rent that film.
$3.99
okay,
Amazon
good.
Prime. You're doing great. And
have you seen though? Like, have you seen the films for $24.99 to rent?
No.
Oh my God. On
Who's
Apple.
That?
It's on Apple. You'll
oh,
see.
It's Apple.
Yeah, Apple. So you can rent it. Like, if it's a brand new movie, you can rent it for $24.99. And I'm like, okay, it's COVID. No one's going to the theaters. They got to make money. I'll support it. But holy cow, give me the option to keep it, though. I want to keep it, too. I'm paying
$24. Well, I mean, Disney Plus, I spent $30 to see Black Widow. And I spent, you know, and then I could watch it until they took it off.
You could watch it forever. Yeah.
And then they put it up. They took it off for like HBO had Wonder Woman 84 up for like a month or something.
Yeah.
And that was free with HBO Go, with HBO.
Now
Max
they have 78
the
million
have.
Subscribers now. HBO Go.
Yeah.
That's
well,
where it's at. It's always a monthly boom, bang, boom, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody wants $4 to $7 a month.
Every month. Just continuous.
And yeah. Tonight, the night, I think this is. No, this will be a week after. But Paramount Plus
yeah.
is the CBS, but they also have Comedy Central, and I think they have Discovery. And
yeah.
they have it's a bundled thing, right?
I wish Paramount Plus would come to Quebec. I'm going to say that out loud. Please come to Quebec because I'm missing some shows that I love. Luckily, I can watch Yellowstone on Amazon. Thank you.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. It's. I think Andy bought it when it was CBS All Access.
Oh, cool.
So that we could watch Star Trek.
I love Star
and
Trek.
And then, there's a truck going behind me. Anyway, so, but I think that Paramount Plus is the new iteration of CBS All Access. And he may still be paying it because you forget.
You have to
and
check.
And then all of a
you
sudden,
have
you're,
to check.
You're, you have to check.
Yeah.
Everything's either
just go on your settings and go to subscriptions. Oh my God, it adds up quickly too. And if you're not using it, just stop it, you know?
Yeah,
buy something
you
use. Get out.
Yes. And so we didn't talk about Call of Duty because there's a bunch of those, right?
Well, and there's zombies in it and there's all these different stories and you're going back into you know, present day to, you know, the '70s, I think it was eighties, back in the '80s, and your CIA guys in the '80s and in Russia, which was really awesome. I mean, it's great. And then you're actually going back into, I think, the Second World War or something like that.
Could you do that? I was going to ask, because remember Castle Wolfenstein?
I love that game. And had it on PC.
That was nuts.
Wolfenstein was awesome.
Yeah.
That was about, you know, Wolfenstein, and then what was it? Doom. Doom was pretty great, too.
Oh, Dune. Yeah, Dune was really the first-person shooter, I feel like.
The Doom, right?
I remember literally just playing it on my desktop, and when I finally... I was like, because, you know, you'd get to the final, like, skull thing
demon
in the wall.
Guy. Yeah.
And you had to shoot into the mouth or something.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was that,
and yeah, I remember I did it. It was like 3 a.m. And I was like, I hope your phone's turned off. And I called Patton Oswalt. I was like, hey, because he turned me on to the game. And I was like, hey, 4 months later, I beat this game, and I just wanted to tell you, all right, I love you. You're an asshole. Okay. And I was like, I got it.
You did it, though.
I did win.
It feels
but
so
I
good when
never
you beat the games, right? Like, it's like, oh, wow, what an accomplishment, man. Good job. Yeah.
Right. It does have a sense of accomplishment.
It does.
And I always enjoy, with these big shooter games, are there victory screens? Like, if you finish chapter one, is there kind of a victory celebration at all?
The townspeople are happy that they're getting back control. So there's a, thank you so much for doing that. You know, you're having these very funny, you know, the camera's panning around them and it's trying to get all very emotional and stuff. And you're like, oh, you know, just another day in the life, you know, kind of thing. And I'm going to go kill some more bad guys. And so you got to keep going. But
right?
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
one of my favorite victory screens was, there was a cross country. It was an upright. It was Touring USA, I think it was called.
Was that a drive? Was that a driving game or was that?
Yeah, it was a driving game, and you could keep adding more 50 cents if you wiped out too many times.
Okay, good.
And you would start in L.A. You'd go up through the Redwoods to and the graphics were beautiful, and they tried to like sort of be the graphics in the towns, the cities you were going through. And you would drive, you know, you drive through Denver, the Mile High, you'd go through Chicago, you'd see the Sears Tower, you know, you'd do all these things and you'd end up in Washington, D.C. And so this was in, I think, 96, 95 or 96. And so you'd end up in Washington, D.C. when the cherry blossoms were in bloom.
Yes.
And if you ended the, if you finished the race, the victory screen, you were on top of the White House in a hot tub with Bill Clinton.
That sounds like a good time.
And Secret Service guys all around you. It was dumb and gross and hilarious. And but it had all of it going on for it.
Hanging out with Bill, man. That sounds like fun.
You're like, is Hillary doing the work of being president while you're screwed?
She's downstairs.
Yes,
she's making the calls, man. She's making the calls.
She's doing the work.
Bill's just having a little fun, having a little cigar. He's having a little cigar with you. Good job.
Yeah, sure. Nice work.
No, yeah, I remember playing that in because I was an arcade freak. So I used to go to all those old school arcades in Sacramento. And there would be like a Steve's Pizza. My parents would take us to that when we were very young. And they would get the pizza ready. They would have their cocktails or whatever. And we would just be like spending $20 on quarters, whatever, playing whatever video game.
Right.
Mortal Kombat.
It was made for both of us.
That was kind
of
fun, though.
Like a pre-Dave and Buster's kind of moment.
And then there was a Blockbuster video right next to it. And so after that, we'd go, because it's Friday, so you need to go get some video games for the weekend or a couple movies and some snacks, like some Sour Patch Kids or whatever. And you go get sugar and your game and you're set.
That's it.
You're set.
It was a bucolic moment. If you took a slice out of a childhood and just was like, if it was all like that, it would have been amazing.
It would have been amazing. It was amazing.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it was good.
And so with, we didn't even talk about Zelda. I played a bunch of Zeldas.
Zelda's amazing.
It's just a,
you're a little dwarfy
RPG
guy.
So.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, you got to go find your chick and, you know, you're after all these really bad guys. And I love that as you got better, your sword got stronger, your shield got bigger, your outerwear got cooler, you got more potions. And then you saw these really, you got your horse. I think you could fly a little bit. I think you had wings or something, if I wasn't mistaken.
Different ones,
right? And then bow and arrow.
A boat.
Yeah, but you start out as kind of a schlep. Like, you have nothing. You're like,
right,
barely
you roll out and you're just wearing a tunic.
A tunic. You don't have a stick. You have nothing. I think you. That's did it. You have a stick? It's been a while.
These two hands. And then you have to go off and find the sword. Yeah. And then. And it's all, you know, it's very fun. Gail Simone is a comic book writer, and her favorite thing to do on Twitter is to just occasionally post things like, Zelda is the hero, right? And it will lead like every nerd dude in the world to mansplain that it's Link.
Yeah.
And you're
that's
calm down.
That's a big thing.
It will, but she just likes to light people up. She's like,
smart.
All right.
That's some good engagement right there. Tell her good work.
That's real nice. Trying to get people to. She writes DC a lot, so that's button pushing to begin with.
Well, listen, and, DC. So Batgirl?
She wrote Birds of Prey, wrote Suicide Squad. Secret Six. Secret Six.
Okay, cool. Cool.
So Gail Simone's Secret Six run is actually one of the greatest. The first Suicide Squad movie should have been a Secret Six movie.
Yeah.
But the second Suicide Squad movie was actually quite hilarious, and I enjoyed it.
Well, you know, look at the talent that's in that film. I mean, from the director to writer to everything. I mean, well done.
And Margot Robbie doing Birds of Prey was outstanding as well. So that was a Gail Simone
nice
collab, which was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Which you should know. Mm-hmm. Taylor, is that we're almost at an hour here. And I should remind people that I am talking with Taylor McCluskey. Can they go to Amazon and buy your music?
Yeah, they can go to Amazon, Spotify. They can go anywhere.
They can stream it.
We have Atmos Mastering. So on Amazon Music, in Tidal, you can listen to Atmos Mastering, which is 7.4, I think it is. It's pretty cool. So that was fun to make. But yeah, we have a lot of songs, and then we have like four films we're getting off the ground right now too. So it's been busy over here, and we haven't been able to tour because of the COVID restrictions. We're on lockdown in Canada, but we're doing a live stream show tomorrow night I am doing a live stream acoustic show here tomorrow night at 9 PM.
And those are kind of ongoing until you get to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go out in the world.
We can't wait. January 21st, full band at Planet B Studios is on the deck. But we'll see after the 10th if that's a go. So, because there's problems because if people leave, if we shoot until, let's say, 10 p.m. and the show's roughly, we'll probably put it at 9 p.m. If my guys go home and they get pulled over, they could get fined $1,000. So there's letters and all kinds of legal stuff we got
to
make sure.
You have to have paperwork.
There's a lot of
somehow essentially.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I had to go to the studio to do a thing. So it's okay.
It's okay.
And
And there's less than 10 people in the room. So we made that apparent. So we cut down crew and everything. So it just sucks that we have a lot of people that I want to get working and, you know, doing the whole thing. I want to work. I want to play. So right now this is how we talk to our fans.
This is it. Just got to make a lateral move. You got to be adaptable. We're doing it.
Yes.
Taylor McCluskey, thank you so much for talking me through a lot of military first-person shooter video games. This was so great. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much. Yay. This has been a pleasure.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?